The first reading is from the Old Testament, Isaiah 64, verses 1 to 9. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, takes us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now, consider, we are all your people. Second reading is a responsive reading, Old Testament, Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream.
Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them."
The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev.
May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy.
Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
The New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, the gospel concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for the sake of his name, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Joseph came to talk to me today. Now I am very much alone. He looks so sad, not angry as I thought he might be. Sad for himself, for me, for the baby. We were betrothed. He was struggling, wanting not to believe the voices in the marketplace, wanting to believe me. Oh, how I need him to believe me. But he said that he could only believe his own eyes. I feel utterly abandoned, even by God. I cannot understand why God has supposedly chosen me for the highest honor ever bestowed on a woman, but has allowed my family and friends to totally reject me. If it were not for the evidence growing daily inside me, I would doubt the whole thing. The baby and I are in grave danger. My father sold some of our animals recently, and the rumor is spreading that the money was used to buy Joseph's silence. When I mentioned that my cousin Elizabeth is also having a baby, my father thought it would be wise and safer for me to visit her. I can assist her during her own preparations. After all, she is not exactly young. The angel himself told me that Elizabeth was pregnant. I hope she will believe me.
And this morning's gospel lesson, taken from the gospel according to Luke, reading chapter 1, verses 26 to 37. Let us listen for God's word to his people. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her, and he said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very much perplexed by his word and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was considered to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. The first words that are spoken to Mary in this whole puzzling and confusing miraculous story are the words of the angel. Fear not. Fear not. It is Gabriel's unique message. For those who were with us for the Bible study this past fall, as we looked through the book of the prophet Daniel from the Hebrew Scriptures, we noted that Daniel is our first introduction to the archangel Gabriel. And every time Gabriel shows up, he begins his proclamation with these words. Fear not. God is with you. So consistent is Gabriel in his angelic proclamation that I am certain that the angel who we heard about last week in the gospel lesson, who spoke to Joseph about all of these things, was none other than the angel Gabriel, even though the gospel lesson last week did not name him such. How do I know? How can I be certain? Because it was Gabriel's message. Fear not. That message of Gabriel's, however, also raises a particular sort of question. Why would God require one special messenger whose sole message to the world is fear not? I think perhaps we can get some sense of the importance of Gabriel's message here and elsewhere in Scripture by juxtaposing what Gabriel has to say with the prophecy that we heard just read from Isaiah 64. Were you listening as Michelle read this morning?
Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake in your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains quaked in our presence. Tear open the heavens. Mountains quake, kindle a flame, roil things up, make nations tremble. So often in the Hebrew scriptures, God's appearing is seen in terms of his great acts of power, proofs that God has the power not only to remake human history, but to cause the very foundations of the world to tremble. Through law and judgment, prophecy and invocation, God is depicted as a vengeful God whose power to redeem is inextricably tied to God's power to overturn all things. When God breaks into human history, there is thunder and there's lightning. There is smoke and fire and earthquakes. It's a fearful thing. And yet, we know that God's ultimate goal is not destruction, but recreation. Not judgment, but redemption. Time and again throughout all of the scriptures, we observe that God's great plan is to call God's faithful people back to him, to enact justice, and to ensure that those who are the lowest in our society is cared for. That is God's great vision. A time of radical reorientation. And whenever such a moment happens, our world will be shaken. Our lives will be shaken because there will be a demand for changes in our behaviors and changes that will come about that will threaten who we define ourselves to be and how we live. Acknowledging all of that, then perhaps it is essential for God to have a messenger, one who declares time and again, fear not. For breaking the patterns of this fallen world is difficult, and it will challenge us all. But of course, there is another change that happens here on this page turn as we move from the Hebrew scriptures into the gospel proclamation. Here in the story of Mary that we follow this year through Advent, God turns his back on things like kingdoms and armies to judge and correct his people. And in their place, God focuses God's divine plan on one young girl betrothed to a carpenter. For Mary, it must have been a difficult and confusing time to be found with child but having no sexual relations with a man. Imagine if it happened to you like that. The confusion, the worry, and the shame. Certainly you would be forced to question what is going on here. You would be burdened. You would be forced to question everything. Again, in a very different sort of way, the very foundation of nature is being changed. And it's into this moment of bewilderment and shame that Gabriel arrives. Fear not, God is with you, the angel says. And for Mary, it would take the entire 9 months of her pregnancy and many years beyond that to fully grasp the implications of the angel's message recorded in these verses. But somehow, she knew enough to accept that God was with her. And likewise for us, as we travel through this Advent season, we travel through it mindful of the fact that Advent has its two focuses. The first is those 4 weeks before the celebration of Christmas and the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. And we wait with eager longing and great excitement for that. But the second focus is more important even than that. Our waiting and our anticipation of the fact that the promise has been made that Christ will come again. And that in Christ's coming, God's kingdom will be finally realized here on earth. A kingdom of justice and peace, of reconciliation, that we will finally know that indeed God is with us. And that we need not live in fear. As we look at the world around us from time to time, it becomes a little bit overwhelming. And we wonder what exactly is going on. We start to question, perhaps, and doubt, does God indeed have a plan for this? And the answer is yes. God indeed has a plan for this. To send his only Son into the world that we might be saved through him. In the midst of everything that is going on in our world, in the midst of everything that is going on in our own lives and the struggles that each of us face each day, in the midst of our fear and our shame and our bitterness and our gloom, the angel Gabriel comes to us today with his words, the words that he has said throughout history to the people of God in their time of need. Fear not, for God is with you. As we count down the weeks until Christmas and wait with eager anticipation for the coming of our Lord once more, let us never forget that one reality. That regardless of where we go and regardless of whatever challenges we face, God goes with us and cares for us in all of our struggles, wishing to bring for us healing and hope, peace and reconciliation. Fear not. God is with you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, all that we have is the Lord's. All that we may become and receive is in God's hand. For the sake of the joy that is ours when our bonds grow deep with others, let us give generously for the well-being of this community and the world as we present our tithes and offerings.
Let us pray. Holy God, you bless us with many gifts. You retrieve us from despair and fear. You visit us with surprising proclamations, and you intend for us good things. We thank you for your steadfast love, for sending signs of assurance, and for the gift of faith. Use our gifts to bring comfort and justice to those in need, reforming the ways of our world for the sake of new life, given to us all through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we move to the prayers of the people this morning, we name people in prayers from time to time as needs arise within our community of faith. And usually you can figure out what's happening, but sometimes really, really weird ones happen. And this is one of those mornings. In our prayers this morning, we have all the usual intercessions for our community and for our world. But today we also include in prayer Jamie Secord, child of this congregation, who this morning is summiting Mount Aconcagua in Argentina. It's the highest peak in South America. And the news report that Jeanette shared with me as she was coming in this morning is by 1 o'clock this afternoon, their time, which is probably about 4 or 5 hours from now, our time, they will reach the summit of that mountain, and then they will start their way back down. And the fact that they're getting closer and closer means Jeanette is breathing a sigh of relief with each and every passing hour. So we remember Jamie in our prayer this morning as well as others. Friends, let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. God of peace, we give you thanks that you lift up the lowly and give peace to those who are troubled. May we know that you are our constant companion and guide, always ready to speak into the darkened corners of our lives. Tear open the heavens, O Lord, and come down, that this world might bend to your vision of peace, where lion and lamb will lie down together, and no one will live in fear. Move within the hearts of world leaders that your peaceable kingdom might supplant this world's warring nations. Today especially, we pray for the countries of Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam, giving thanks to those who persevered in these countries amid periods of conflict and war. We thank you for all those who have provided economic assistance to those who have sought to rebuild their countries, and for all those who welcomed refugees who fled the conflict in search of hope and peace. And we pray especially for the Christians of these countries. Though few in number, they continue to bear witness to your love and reconciliation. We pray that you will help these countries rebuild from historic conflicts and modern-day monsoons. As we remember our world and its vastness this day,
We hold up in prayer Jamie Secord and all those who are climbing with him this day, that they may be safe and that their experiences might create within them a sense of awe at the marvels of your creation. We pray for those who are challenged by accommodation, for those living on the streets or in shelters. Move our hearts to support them and to advocate for just housing practices and changes in social policy that lead to homelessness. We pray for those who are in our own community who have lost their homes recently due to fire. Shelter them in your love and grant them a sense of security. We pray for those who are ill, and especially we pray for Libby Vipond and Hubert Seguin this week. Grant them a good spirit and strength to face ongoing tests and treatments. God of grace, we pray that you will hold in your most tender care those who mourn. And especially today we lift up before you the family of John McMartin, that they may sense your peace with them. Hold us all in the never-ending fellowship of all of those who, having served their day and generation in the faith, rest now from their labors to await the fulfillment of your great Advent promise that Christ will come again to establish your heavenly kingdom on this earth. Until that day, hold us constant in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.